Becca is not here today because she's having a procedure tomorrow on her heart, and I think it would be good for us to pray for her this morning. But don't feel sorry for her today, because she and Ryan are at a bluegrass festival at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco today. They were there yesterday, and she sent me a text saying that they just got offered some magic chocolate. She said they didn't eat any. A bluegrass festival in San Francisco. That's like where hippies and hillbillies meet. But they're up there. But we do need to pray for Becca. She has the procedure done. Last time she had it done, she probably came back too early, too soon. So she'll be off the next couple of Sundays as well, at home recuperating. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with Becca. We pray, Lord, that she and Ryan will have a great time today. I pray that you'll remove all worry and anxiety. And Lord, I just pray that as she goes into this procedure tomorrow morning, that she'll go in just filled with your peace and your love and your joy. And Lord, we ask you to be with the doctors. We pray, Lord, that you give them skills beyond what they have. Might they do just the right thing in just the right place of her heart so this AFib goes away. And Lord, we'll give you the thanks for it. In your name, amen. The staff went up for a retreat up in the mountains the last few days of the week, and we had a great time. I just want you to know that our North Park staff, they are good. They are good. I thank them for the job that they do. I ain't so good, but they're good, and they cover for me, and it's a good, good thing. We're starting today what we're calling the Matthew 25 Challenge. There are study guides in the lobby. Please pick one up. These will really, really help you out. But we're going to be going through Matthew chapter 25. And I want to encourage you several times, many times through this next few weeks, just read Matthew 25. It consists of three parables. The first one's the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And they speak to us living in readiness for the Lord's return. Then the parable of the three servants, which speaks to us making the most of all that God has given us, all that he has blessed us with. You know, all the blessings in your life have been given to you by God. Your job has been given to you by God. Yeah, the money you have, the house you have, everything you have has been given to you by God, and he expects us to be good stewards or good managers of those things. And we'll talk about that next week. And then the third parable, which we'll talk about the last 2 weeks, is on the final judgment. And it speaks to the accountability that each one of us will have when we come face to face with God for that final judgment. So Matthew chapter 25 is a great opportunity for us to begin to view our lives from a spiritual perspective rather than an earthly perspective. It's a chance for us to realize the responsibilities and the opportunities that God has given us. Now, we talked a lot about missions last week. Missions are so important. Jesus told all of us, not just some of us, but he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations or to all people. We have a responsibility to the best of our ability to see that happens. And we do a lot. A lot happens through Nord Park. We have a lot of missionaries overseas that we support. In cooperation with other churches, they are there as our representative, making sure that all nations hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. We, through Nord Park, and this is through your missions giving, we support a lot of local ministries in the area. People who are reaching out to those in need, those with problems of all sorts. And that's because of our missions giving. We have an opportunity. One thing is we are in cooperation again this year with the West Fresno Ministerial Alliance, and we'll be doing Feeding Families. You'll hear more about that next week. But the Saturday before Thanksgiving, We have the opportunity to go over to Edison High School and to give as many families, we're hoping like 1,000 families, we're able to give them a meal for Thanksgiving. And there'll be clothes there, and there'll be medical personnel there, and there'll be an opportunity for people to receive prayer there. There's all kinds of opportunities for us to help those who are less fortunate than us. And at the end of this Matthew 25 challenge, we will be given the opportunity to support a child in a little village in Guatemala where they have absolutely nothing. And we'll have an opportunity to sponsor a child. In fact, we're kind of on the cutting edge. Only a few churches nationwide have done this yet, but we're a part of a program through World Vision called Chosen. And it's really cool, and we'll show you a video detailing that more probably in the next couple weeks. But what it is we will on the Sunday, the 27th, on that Sunday, we'll have an opportunity to sponsor a child. But, you know, usually when you do that, you go and you see pictures and you pick a child. What we'll do is we'll have our picture taken. And those pictures will be taken to this village in Guatemala. And the children will choose who they want to be their sponsor. And then on November 10th, we'll get a picture back. That's the big reveal day. And we'll get a picture of the child that we're sponsoring holding our picture in their hands. So it's really a cool deal. And if we have time, one of these coming Sundays, I want to show you how that happened. A church in Chicago did that for a village in Uganda. And it is, I sent it to Becca, and she texted me back. She says, our whole family is in tears. It's really kind of a phenomenal thing. So we'll have an opportunity to do that. But I want to show you this World Vision video of some others talking about this Matthew 25 challenge.
Then the king would say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous would answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
The Matthew 25 challenge was a transformational moment for my family and I. There's one particular day when the challenge was to sleep on the floor. And I walked by my daughter's room, and she was already there on her sleeping bag reading her Bible.
The Matthew 25 challenge was an incredibly spiritual experience for me personally. God was teaching us different things every day, and sharing it with each other was really exciting.
Well, when it came to the Water Day challenge, three words come to mind: caffeine, withdrawal, headaches. Going without coffee all day was a lot harder than I thought. I'd get these headaches, but every time I did, it would remind me of the 6 kilometer walk that women and children have to do to get unclean water.
My first thought was, this will be easy. I grew up missing meals and sleeping on the floor, but my daughters, not so much. They were challenged to come out of their Wi-Fi life and actually experience what kids around the world experience every single day.
Between weeks 3 and 4 of this, you hear him talking about the Matthew 25 challenge. There'll be challenges that we are going to give you and your family. so that you can understand this scripture more, Matthew 25, in more practical terms. I'll tell you right now what they're going to be, and some of these seem easy, some hard. On Monday, the 21st, we're going to ask you to skip lunch and break your fast that night with rice and beans. And it goes to that line in the last parable, the parable of the judgment, where it says, I was hungry. Tuesday, the 22nd, we're going to ask you to give up all drinks except water. Matthew 25, it says, I was thirsty. On Wednesday, October 23rd, we're going to ask you to sleep on the floor. I was a stranger. I know, I'm 61. That one scares me to death, but we're going to sleep on the floor. On the Thursday, the 24th, we're going to ask you to wear the same clothes that you wore the day before. So wear the same clothes Thursday that you wore Wednesday. And the Bible says, I needed clothes. And then Friday, the 25th, we're going to ask you to reach out to someone who's going through a difficult time. Where it says, I was sick and I was in prison. Saturday, the 26th, we're going to ask you to take a 30-minute prayer walk. Because Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then as I said, on Sunday, October the 27th, we'll have an opportunity to sponsor a child. And then November 10th, we will see who we were chosen by. Now, I don't want you to miss a single week of this Matthew 25 challenge if you have to. Not if you just feel like sleeping in, not if you just want to stay home, but if you have to miss, you can find all of these sermons on our website, and you can go and watch them there. This morning, we want to talk about the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Several months ago, Mary Ellen and I were invited to a wedding in some people's backyard. It was on a Saturday evening, and Marilyn had to work that day, and she had a customer come in at the last minute, and she got home late, and we're frantically trying to get there, and we had to drive down to Southeast Fresno for this, and when we got there, we were 7 minutes late. How many of you know we husbands keep track of those things? How many minutes? We were 7 minutes late, and we walk in the backyard, and everybody's milling about, socializing with each other. And I think, oh, good, we didn't miss it. And then we're talking to somebody, we find out we did miss it. Some judge did the wedding, and it took like 3 minutes. What a memorable wedding ceremony. But anyway, we had missed the wedding. And that's what this parable talks about. It's about some people who missed a wedding. In fact, the title for today's talk is Don't Be Late for the Party. Now, Matthew 25, there's three parables there. Now, Jesus often spoke in parables. In fact, Jesus was the best storyteller ever to walk the face of the earth. Now, what is a parable? A parable is a short, fictitious story that illustrates a moral or spiritual principle. Parables are used to illustrate spiritual principles that the audience would otherwise not comprehend. So this is what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 1-13. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their trip, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by a shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, We don't have enough for all of us. Go to shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know what the day or the hour of his return." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this warning in this parable, this story. And Lord, I pray that we will allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us today, and might we respond in exactly the way that you desire for us to. In your name we pray, amen. My outline is simple today. It's messing up and missing out. Messing up and missing out. And that's the story of these five bridesmaids who didn't bring enough oil. They were not prepared. Not enough oil. What does that say to us? It says they were living just in the moment. They weren't planning ahead. They weren't planning for what could be inevitable. You know, in our city, in our nation, where there's so little persecution, I mentioned this last week, one of the fastest growing churches in the world is in Iran, where everything has to be done in secret. And if they know you're a Christian, you will be killed in Iran. Yet today, mosques are empty. But people are gathering together in secret, in hiding, to worship Jesus. Persecution generally brings, we see it throughout history, great revival. The church in China, where they're persecuted, is growing by leaps and by bounds. But in a country like ours, where there's so little persecution, we tend to play kind of loosey-goosey with our faith. Many of us feel that we have all we need, and it results in us not making God the number one priority in our lives. In Revelation, it's described this way. "I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need anything.' And you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also, buy white garments for me, so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and an ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference." The way that we live matters. Making Jesus the number one priority in our life matters. A lot of times we think, well, you know, everybody said that Christ is going to return, and so I don't have to hurry on this thing. I'm okay. It's all good. Man, we know, and I'm going to talk about it more in a minute, but we know that Christ could return at any moment. In Matthew 25, we see that this life matters a lot, but the party is found in the life to come. Now, think about that for a minute. How many of you like to enjoy life? I do. I love to enjoy life. I like to enjoy people. I like the blessings that God has given me. I love having different experiences. I love doing stuff. But this is nothing compared to the life to come. So I ask the question, and I have to ask myself this all the time, am I messing around? Am I missing out? Am I living a life of preparation for the coming of the bridegroom, Jesus, to take us to the real party? It's so easy for us to mess around. But the sad thing is, if we mess around, we potentially could miss out. Now, missing the wedding in this parable illustrates those who will miss out on heaven because they were messing around. The five bridesmaids in this parable illustrate those who will miss out on Christ's return due to, and this is not a limited list, it's really a long list, but number one, a lack of preparation. Treating a life in Christ as if it's not important, when really that's the most important thing that we can do this side of heaven, is live our life for Christ, making him our number one priority. And those bridesmaids, it could be that they dealt with procrastination. They were waiting for another time to prepare for his arrival. I had a joke I used to tell people when I was heading off to a Bible college and left Texas, came to California to Bible college. And they said, "Well, Bob, what are your plans?" I said, "Well, the first 2 years I have to develop a testimony and then I'll prepare for ministry." And there are a lot of people that live that way. I need to experience life. I need to do things. There's plenty of time. I can get my life together with Christ some other time. I know that's the way that not just young people, it may seem more prevalent in young people, but we adults do that as well. We procrastinate in giving our lives completely to Christ. I love what it says in Hebrews. In Hebrews, it says to respond to God while it's still called today. That means when God lays something on our heart, we need to respond to that thing today, not later, not when the 21-day fast starts, but do it right now. Respond while it's today. I've told you before about that. I got excited the first time I saw it. We were in San Francisco, and there's a Joe's Crab Shack down on Fisherman's Wharf. Have you seen it? And on the side of their building, it says, "Free crab tomorrow." The problem with tomorrow is tomorrow never comes. And we often do that on things that God's convicting us about or calling us to do. Well, tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow. Respond while it's called today. Maybe those five bridesmaids thought that they were entitled, thinking, "I was invited. There's no way they're going to start without me and keep me out." Maybe those bridesmaids were dependent on others. "If I use up all my oil, someone else will give me some." Now think about it for a minute. A lot of us are entitled Christians. "Well, I'll get into heaven because I was raised in a Christian home and my parents are Christians." A lot of us think we're entitled. We think, "Well, I've got a pedigree. I'm known as a good guy and everybody likes me and I've done good things." And because of their pedigree, they think they're going to get into heaven. Some of us might think, "Well, I go to church every week. I'm involved in everything. I've even taught Sunday school. I've done all these things. So I'm entitled to make it into heaven." For some people, they think, "Well, I've done charitable acts. And those charitable acts will get me into heaven." Some people just think they'll get into heaven because they have an overblown self-esteem. Now, I don't want you to nudge anybody or anything, but have you ever known one of those people that just think they're always right, that they're superior to other people, that, you know, there's nobody around that's as good as I am, nobody who's as smart as me, nobody who knows as much about the Bible as me, and so I just deserve to get in because of who I am? But when that day comes, when the bridegroom comes, we will be held accountable for ourselves and ourselves alone. We'll stand before God, and he's going to say, "What did you do with my son, Jesus? What did you do with your life? Did you live for me?" I am so glad that our God is patient. He gives us second and third and fourth and 189th chances sometimes, doesn't he? Who's glad that God's patient? Who could say that God's given you second, third, and even more than that chances? But when the day of his return comes, it's going to be too late. Too late. When Jesus comes to take his bride, the church, we need to all ask ourselves, will I be ready or will I be messing around and missing out? Jesus said while he was on earth, and scripture's full of this, Old and New Testament alike, that he would return. And from what I know about scripture and the signs of the end times, we're living in the last days. Jesus, our bridegroom, could come at any moment. The rapture of the saints being caught up to heaven could come at any moment. So we need to live as if Jesus is returning today, yet we also need to live as if we are going to die at 120 years old. We need to live in a state of readiness. Now, it's so interesting. God is so creative. God wrote his word in such a way to where every generation has believed they were the last generation. The disciples thought that Jesus was going to come in their lifetime. The church in the Middle Ages thought that Christ would return in their lifetime. During World War II, there was people that knew Christ was going to come because Hitler and Nazism had to be the beginning of the tribulation. There have been many people who have thought they had it figured out, and they've set dates for the coming of Christ. And to date, they've all been wrong. And we believe now, and I strongly believe, that probably most of us in this room as believers won't die before Christ comes. We'll be caught up to heaven to be with him. But the fact is, we don't know. We don't know the day and hour that it'll come. But it could be today. It could be today. Am I messing around and am I going to miss out? I just want to share one scripture with you this morning regarding the final days. As I was reading this last week, I thought, how timely is this passage of scripture? 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. It says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like this. Does that sound like the culture we're living in today? That is spot on, spot on. Please don't get caught up on things that don't matter. Be ready for the party. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the future that you have in store for us. You have a future in store for us that is better, that is more fulfilling, that is more awesome than we can even begin to imagine. Jesus, help us to truly evaluate our lives tonight or this morning, and help us, Lord, to realize whether we're missing up, putting ourselves in a situation to miss out. In Jesus' name.